We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and William Franklin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome William Franklin as our guest this week to play with three of our regular players of the game. And we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject that Ian Messiter has thought of as a starter is green jelly babies. Will you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
A jelly baby is a small gelatinous sweetmeat shaped as a young person or a small human being and panders to the cannibalistic instincts that are in most of us. A green jelly baby is pretty much what I said, coloured green. They also come red, black and yellow. And I find it extraordinarily difficult when in a blindfolded test to tell one colour from another. It's an extraordinary thing because one ought to know, but I, with a taste of some distinction...
William Franklin has charged.
I think the word coloured cropped up a second time. I'm always a little bit slow on these things because
yes,
I have to absorb...
But he did hesitate, didn't he?
Well, I found it was the colour that I was more concerned with than the hesitation. I'm quite happy to accept the hesitation as well. In fact, it had some built-in
error. So, William Franklin, you have a correct challenge for hesitation. And we have to encourage the guests occasionally. With 24 seconds on green jelly babies, starting now.
Green jelly babies are to humans what cuds are to our milk-giving four-legged friends. They seem to be something that one puts in the mouth to occupy rather boring or rather bleak staring moments. You put it in your mouth, you're quite comfortable just chewing away.
Peter Jones, a chum.
Well, he did repeat, put it in your mouth.
He repeated other things as well, Peter.
Well, I know he did, but I let him off that. I thought I'd try and encourage him.
But put it in the mouth was more than one word, so you came in on that one, and so you get a point for a correct challenge. You take the subject of green jelly babies, and there are 8.5 seconds left, starting now.
Well, green jelly babies, like the other coloured ones, are just about the most boring sweets you can possibly imagine, as you can hear.
Messiter blows his whistle. He tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Peter Jones, so he is in the lead at the end of the first round. William Franklin, will you take the second round? And the subject is auctions. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
One of the fascinating things about auctions is if you go to the pre-examination before the actual auction itself, it gives you an opportunity to look at the things that are going to come up in the sale. And I was at an auction down in the country about 5 years ago when I spotted a painting which I thought was an Atkinson Grimshaw, who was a Victorian painter who painted in the area of Liverpool. And as I walked over to it and looked at it closely, a man came up beside me and said, "It's not right, you know." Well, that's their secret way of trying to say to you, you've actually spotted something that's rather good, but we want it, and we're just letting you know that we've all got our eyes on it, so you keep your hands off it. This, in this particular case, it was an expert. So I said, "No, I know it's not the phrase that you've just used, but I happen to like it for what it's worth anyway." So I went away and sat down when the particular painting by the painter I mentioned from Northern England, when it came up, I started
Clement
my
Freud
bidding.
Challenge.
Sorry.
It was awfully boring, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. I want to know whether he bought it or not, and whether it really was an Atkinson Grimshaw.
Well, there's only 4 seconds left.
And the repetition of painter and painting.
Yes, he did repeat those things, Clement, so you can have him on that. And 3.5 seconds on auctions with you, starting now.
Reading newspapers, it would now appear that people who go to auctions no longer have to buy anything.
Freud was speaking as the whistle went. Gain the extra point is equal in the lead with Peter Jones at the end of the round. And Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, cockroaches. Will you tell us something about cockroaches in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they're not particularly attractive, not as pets anyway. But I do seem to remember the head of the catering department of a London hospital describing them as nourishing and saying that they had quite a lot of protein. They weren't introduced into the meals he was serving intentionally. They just kind of dropped into them, just like the bird's droppings that fell into the milk puddings at another...
William Franklin.
Repetition of fell into.
They did. They dropped before, they fell into.
That's right.
They dropped and they fell in. We had...
dropped, and then I said fell in. I mean, it
repeated. An action replay, really, don't we, to actually sort that out? Now, I do, in that case, the hearing again, it's got very dodgy lately. Yeah.
You could have had it for hesitation, but I'm afraid it's too late now.
I wanted to tell him about the Atkinson Grimshaw, because
he was
terribly
interested. Yes, and I would like to hear about it.
Yes,
well,
I mean,
tell us
obviously.
Now, if you like. Did you buy it or not?
Claypot was very bored by it, but I must tell you, it was an Atkinson Grimshaw.
Did you buy it?
I did buy it.
Yes.
I took it somewhere, and it was valued for 17 times what I paid for it. So I was rather...
Oh, marvellous.
And it
so why are you bothering to appear on Just a Minute?
Well, I've been looking at this painting for so long, I just like a break.
Yeah.
I get away from the house, you know, because I keep looking at this lovely painting.
Let's go back to Just a Minute. Peter, the subject is Atkinson Grimshaw. Oh, no, it isn't. It's the subject is cockroaches, quite different. 32 seconds are left, starting now.
17 times as much as he paid. Anyway, this cockroach...
Repetition of what I'd said, actually.
He can say anything that you said, but he mustn't repeat it. But you could have had him for deviation, because what he said has got nothing to do with cockroaches.
Yes, right, I'm having him for deviation.
As you're our guest, Bill, I will allow that deviation and give you 27 seconds left on cockroaches starting now.
When the typhoons of Hong Kong assemble, they cloud in across the island. At the end of this particular weather...
Thought there was a hint of hesitation.
A hint?
I was given the story by my wife just before I left home, and I hadn't had time to practice.
Listen, were you fed up with your Atkinson
Grimshaw? I don't want you to drag your personal life into this.
Peter, you have 17 seconds on cockroaches starting now.
I've been talking about cockroaches, it seems, all evening. Anyway, these little creatures... The black ones, particularly, are fairly unpleasant if you adopt a human standard in judging their appearance. But if one was a cockroach oneself...
So Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, gained other points in the round, and he's in a positive lead at the end of the round, and we come to Kenneth Williams, from whom we have not yet heard enough in this show. And the subject is very apt, Kenneth. It is When I Do My Nut, which you have been known to do in Just a Minute, but when you talk on the subject, starting now.
I have a wing nut, thank goodness, because it unscrews very easily, and I call it mine because when I went there, it didn't exist. I opened the flap with a sort of ventilation thing to let the air in, and I couldn't get behind to clean it. So I removed it and made a little hole in this wing nut. Goes in.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of wing nut.
Oh, yes, that's right, because it's not on the card. When I Do My Nut is on the card, so winged is a repetition. And Peter, you have a correct challenge. And 33 seconds are left. When I Do My Nut, starting now.
Well, I don't very often do it, but I have to be driven to some form of, you know, I really have to be pushed very hard.
Clement Freud.
Repetition.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what... Oh, but
have to be...
Yes, that's right. I mean the phrase. Right, 24 seconds with you, Clement, on When I Do My Nut, starting now.
The French call it Quand Je Fais Le Noisette, and the Germans Wenn ich meine Nuss tue. But actually, When I Do My Nut is an expression meaning when I behave like Kenneth Williams, jumping up and down and shouting and screaming and behaving in an extraordinary fashion, such as would be frowned upon at any gentleman's club in Pall Mall, and probably not right to
him. So Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's now moving up on Peter Jones, our leader. William Franklin's in third place. Kenneth is in fourth place. Clement begins the next round. The subject is keeping a diary. Will you tell us something on that subject, Clement, starting now?
I can't tell you a great deal about keeping a diary, and it'll probably last for 60 seconds. If you write about Adrian Mole, then you are incredibly successful and rich and become wealthy and have shows on in the West End. But the ordinary keeping of a diary is something which most people begin and very few finish up with, politicians in particular. Tend to write words and notes and asterisks and messages on pieces of paper and preserve them in case some publisher should one day go up to them and say, have you ever kept a diary, in which case we will buy it and publish it for a great deal of money. And politicians...
Kenneth Williams.
I thought it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
It was the end of a sentence and the beginning of a new paragraph.
It's an awfully long pause.
But in just a minute, you can't pause before you begin the next sentence, Clement. So Kenneth had a correct challenge, and as a diarist yourself, Kenneth, will you tell us something about the subject with 19 seconds left, starting now?
It is a fascinating subject. I have confided to my darling some of the most intimate things which I never say to people. And when it came to actually publishing it, because contrary to Emma Freud, the diary of a nobody was an enormous success and continues to have reprint after more editions.
Kenneth Williams, then, speaking as the whistle went, has now gained points and is in the third place with William Franklin behind Clement Freud and Peter Jones in that order. And, William, your turn to begin. The subject, sexist advertising. Will you tell us something on that subject, starting now?
I think it's probably almost impossible to accept that advertising is sexist, because in each advert there is something for every single person. It doesn't particularly separate it. If it was for bras, it could be for ladies, or it could be for fellows. It could be for the viewer to take his own particular attitude towards it. Cakes and ales. It could be for either members of the human race. It makes no difference. I think the whole idea of...
It could be that he repeated himself.
It could be,
yes.
It could
very well be that.
It could be indeed.
It could be that I got lost.
36 seconds on sexist advertising, Clement, with you starting now.
I'm rather concerned about all the people who worry about sexist advertising. It seems nowadays that if you simply mention something particular to a woman, then ladies come along and say how disgraceful this is sexist. Half the people in this world, if you look at them carefully, notice that they have non-protruding Adam's apples and are therefore females of the species. And yet push them on television in a picture and make them wash up or do any of the normal things that folk do.
Peter Jones challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, and he talked about the washing up. He hesitated. No doubt he's done it himself. So there are 4 seconds for you, Peter, on sexist advertising starting now.
What they mean is pretty girls sitting on the bonnets of cars...
Peter Jones has increased his lead with that extra point, speaking as the whistle went, and he takes the next subject, which is anyone in the third row. So would you like to talk... they're all in the third row of the theatre here at the Westminster Theatre in London, all in the third row, looking very self-conscious at the moment. But actually, the subject is anyone in the third row. So, Peter, talk on it if you can, starting now.
Well, the people in the third row look very much like the people in the second and fourth, as far as I can imagine. If one examines them perhaps closely, I can see one who might conceivably be an international terrorist. And then there's a couple of sex maniacs. And then there's someone who's trying to give up smoking, biting their nails. They have been earlier on in the evening. And somebody who would prefer to be sitting in the front row because they've got their hand cupped over their ear and they can't hear too well. Many people probably wouldn't want to. But there are vacancies in the front row, so if there's anyone in the third row who'd like to move forward and better themselves and perhaps be in a better position to get the autograph...
William Franklin.
Repetition of better.
Better themselves and position.
Yes.
William, you have 14 seconds. Anyone in the third row, starting now.
Thick, well-developed thighs in rugby, and in the third row of any theatre that I have ever sat in, I think are a must. In order to be able to survive the pressures from behind, in front...
William Franklin was speaking as the whistle went and gained the extra point. He didn't get many on the last time he was our guest, but he's got quite a few on this occasion. He's only one behind Clement Freud. He's ahead of Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones is still our leader, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. And the subject, handle. Will you tell us something about that, Kenneth, in just a minute, starting now?
I once had a very tricky situation to handle
in a
theatre when a lady was auditioning. She was a musician and told the producer that with her harmonica she could render Chopin, Tchaikovsky.
And she added, I'm a dab-hand with Andrew. He's right up my alley. And the producer said, where your mouth organ should be. And there was a terrible scene. I had to get her out because his awful-bodied palms were in the way. And another thing was, we had a piper who was auditioning, if you please, for the Southern and Scottish... Well, I don't know.
William Franklin, Charles.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think he did hesitate. It wasn't quite clear where he was going then. 17 seconds for you, William, on Handel, starting now.
Well, Handel's Perrier music, as it's better known across the water, found favour with French society in the 19th century and eventually led to far less kidney stones on the Rhine. This is where that particular river touches the borders of France.
At the end of that round, William Franklin, our guest, has moved into second place. Only just 2 points behind Peter Jones, our leader, and Clement Freud in third place begins the next round. The subject, Clement, is banks. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Banks are immensely overrated institutions in which to keep money. And I would like to say one or two words about mattresses, which are infinitely more suitable. Those things that you
Kenneth
put
Williams
on...
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
What deviation? You're supposed to talk about banks, not mattresses. Mattresses? I thought he said actresses. I was trying to work it out. I couldn't understand it.
Clement, I agree with, disagree with Kenneth. You have the subject. 48 seconds left. Banks, starting now.
I want to tell all you misguided people in the audience who keep your cash in a bank that a mattress remains open 24 hours a day. Never ever insults the depositor.
Clement, I'm sorry, Clement. While the audience were laughing and clapping, Kenneth Williams pressed his buzzer.
Yes, repeated mattresses.
He did repeat.
No, I did not. I said keeping money in mattresses, and I said a mattress is never rude to you.
Yes, because I thought he said actresses.
That's right.
So actually, Clement, you are correct. You did use the word mattresses the second time, and you continue with 37 seconds on banks starting now.
I think it's probably time that I talked about banks. They're frightfully good places who look after your money, who sell you shares, options, deals, find someone to finance your business, and generally insult you unless you're terribly nice to them. The extraordinary thing about banks is that ladies and gentlemen believe they ought to dress up before they go in, as if it were a church or some other establishment of note. And I do want to say to anyone who is still listening, and I realize there may not be many people now, that if you're wearing dungarees or no shirt or you haven't done your hair, go to a bank.
Clement Freud started with the subject of banks, and in spite of interruptions for which he gained points, of course, and won for speaking as the whistle went, he has a number of points that round. He's now equal in the lead with Peter Jones. William Franklin, your turn to begin the subject, mosquitoes. Will you tell us something on that subject, starting now?
The year was 1940. I was a student in Lancaster at the Regent Street Polytechnic, which had been evacuated. In the back streets of that town in Lancashire were Waring and Gillow, who made furniture, but at this particular time, looking through the window, we saw the shapes of aircraft, which was unusual because three-ply wood was being laminated one surface to another by the carpenters who were working inside. Within a few weeks, we were to discover that this furniture factory was producing the great mosquito aircraft, which was later to become the night fighter, the day fighter, the light bomber that was to be one of our saviors in the Second World War.
Hurrah.
Now, what?
I said hurrah.
Hurrah! Yes. Well, it turned out to be quite a big hurrah, as it happens.
Peter Jones challenged you during the hurrah.
Yes. Hesitation.
Oh, did he?
Yes, but as he was stopped in mid-flow, I don't think...
No, really, no, I accept it with a hesitation.
No, you did repeat yourself many times, but nobody challenged you for that for some reason. They're being very generous to you, William. So you have another point.
Interest in the story.
You were interrupted, and you have 15 seconds on mosquitoes starting now. Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes.
I thought he was going to start. I'm sorry, I thought Peter was going to start.
Your name is William Franklin, isn't it?
And then I thought he'd interrupted me earlier on.
No, it was Clement Freud who interrupted you.
One of the most confusing evenings I've ever spent in my life.
Think of the things that were on offer this evening.
I could have done.
You could have sold the Atkinson Grimshaw and gone to the south of France for a couple of weeks.
I probably will as soon as I get home.
Right. So Peter Jones, hesitation is correct. 14 seconds for you on mosquitoes. Starting now.
I suffer terribly from mosquito
Clement
bites.
Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
He didn't begin with well. He always begins with well.
Give Clement a bonus point for a nice challenge. Peter Jones a point for an incorrect challenge. And Peter keeps the subject of mosquitoes. 13 seconds starting now.
My legs swell up in the most appalling way, as if I have elephantiasis. But there is an electronic device operated by a battery, or I think you can latch it onto the mains, and this produces a sound.
So Peter Jones is keeping going and increasing his lead. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, and he's just ahead of William Franklin, and Kenneth Williams, for once, is trailing a little. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is greed. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, one notices this at auctions. You find the place littered with actors who are eyeing all the articles, particularly the pictures, and hoping that they're going to get them cheap, even though it may be a widow woman who is selling her homestead up in order to emigrate and work in a poorer country. Some thespian, or worse still, panelist, purchases this picture and sells it for 17 times as much. And so the wretched woman whose husband has died and she has children to support at school...
The wretched woman has actually reappeared.
Before, yes.
I didn't say wretched woman.
Yes,
before. I said widow.
You said wretched woman who was a widow.
She was. You repeated
I
the word woman,
thought,
whatever.
Bill, it would have been more becoming of you to keep silent and let this sordid story come to an end as soon as possible. But if you insist on hearing every
detail...
it's
been so moving.
Right.
I've been so
Bill,
touched by
William
it, so guilt-ridden, that I'm very happy for you
right.
to continue.
William, no, you continue.
If the woman would like to write to me privately, I'll have a word with Mr. Franklin.
Right. William Franklin, it's you have a correct challenge. You get a point, of course. 16 seconds are left for greed, starting now.
The thought of a beige meringue is something that makes the juices fulminate for me more than practically anything else. It is inevitably a form of greed, but it is something developed as a child at my mother's knee when she whisked in a...
At the end of that round, William Franklin, our guest, was speaking as the whistle went. He gained another point. He's now equal in second place with Clement Freud. They're trailing Peter Jones, who's still our leader, and Kenneth Williams in fourth place is going to begin the next round. Kenneth, the subject, trombones. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
They do put one in the mind of the brass band atmosphere. Don't they? And the lovely song, 76 trombones in the big parade, 110 cornets in the air. It's delightful, even if it's another time and perhaps a different place. I knew a trombonist, and he pulled the thing out and forth such enormous panache that I said to him afterwards, I'm amazed you don't feel a bit of disgust, because an awful lot of spit does go in. She said, I don't mind, it's something you live with, you see. And of course, in the last analysis, these idiosyncrasies which attach to all kinds of instruments, quite apart from
from the trombone.
Although
we shouldn't be talking about anything else except the trombone.
Well, Kenneth Williams started with the subject of trombones, and Kenneth, you get a point for speaking as a whistle went, you get a bonus point for not being interrupted, and you finish up in fourth place. There is no justice in just a minute. Let me tell you that the other three did extremely well, not only with what they contributed, but with the points they gained. And our guest, William Franklin, came back to triumph. Of course, you wouldn't know it in the audience here, because you weren't here when he was playing it the other week. But he came in second place, equal with Clement Freud, our many-time winner. And they were both behind this week's winner, our delightful and witty Peter Jones. Enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again the same time next week when we all take the air and we play this delightful game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.